Hey yo, and here we go. Welcome to a special Beers on the Patio edition of We Talk Music. I am here with Peter Summit and Stacey David Blades of Crashing Wayward. Super stoked to have them in the house. So I mean it's by Stacey's house, so I mean we're having fun.
Sure.
But yeah. But anyways, guys, it's great to have you back on the show and great to have you in person. So
we're sitting outside in December.
I know.
You can't do that in Cal.
No, that's right. You sure can. So tell me, I mean, what's been going on with you guys since we last talked?
Well, we've actually, since the last time we spoke, we released the album, the full album. So that's the biggest accomplishment.
2 years in the making.
Yeah, 2 years in the making. So we released that. Super excited. And it's been getting a lot of traction and some good
international press.
Classic Rock magazine gave it a rave review. So fortunately, knock on wood, we've gotten a lot of good wording and press about the
genre defying, they said.
That's
pretty cool. But we knew, Brett, that we created something very unique than different.
Do you see that here?
So when that's the first line out of Classic Rock magazine, I think that was one of the highest of this year. To read that, genre defying, was like,
that was
awesome.
Yeah, I think we've only scratched the surface so far, So coming into 2024, we have an award show we're going to receive from Vegas Rocks Magazine, Best New Rock Band in Las Vegas.
So it'll be their seventh show. They haven't done it in about 6 years.
Really?
There's quite a bit of buzz on it this year. So to win that award, and then we're also playing at the show too, so that's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that does sound fantastic. Like, I gotta say, because we were driving into Vegas and Listen was on, had Listen on, Listen Stereo.
Oh.
And so Breathe was playing, and as we're kind of like coming into the city, and I gotta say, that is a great song for when you just kind of come into the city. It just all fit together.
That's awesome.
Beautifully at that point.
Nice. Yeah. Thank you. I'm glad you're listening.
So, yeah, well, absolutely.
No pun intended.
Yes.
But don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
But 2024, you're going to see us touring a lot more. We're hitting the road starting February. So hopefully we'll be
Midwest.
Yeah, Midwest. But planning on
just below you.
International.
Yes. Yeah, we just signed a management deal today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So, today, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
So, 3 years in the making? So,
well, yes, things take time.
Yes, they do. So, we're excited to work with this individual. He's a great guy. He really believes in the band. So, we've got next year's going to be a really great year for us.
So, when it comes to touring like that, how difficult is it? I mean, obviously, you guys started in 2020.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to finally get to a point where in 2024, you're talking about the first big tour.
Yeah.
Like, how gratifying, but B, like, how difficult was it to get to this point?
Well, I would say because of COVID, we had a very late start. We were, just like everything was shut down. And
the first show was until October.
Yeah, so. Right. So.
But we had, looking back on this year, we played in a lot of markets. Not a lot, but we've played in Arizona, California. Did a great show at a place called Bowie's in Nashville, right in the heart of Nashville, Packed House. And we also played. Other than here.
Everywhere but Calgary.
So, not as many places as we wanted to, but, for a new band, it's hard. It's really a lot of hard work, especially the melting pot of all of these new bands. Eddie Trunk said it great. He goes, "It used to be a swimming
pool,
and you only could get invited to that
pool.
Now everybody's in the
bands, not the people.
And it's, kind of makes sense. So we've been really, working our butts off to plow through and rise above, a lot of, things that they just take time."
Yeah, with that being said, it's, we can kind of romanticize the past that it seemed to be easier, or nowadays it's should be easier because you can get your music out to the masses,
right.
But you're in this, you know,
a
petri dish of thousands of organisms, millions right. and billions,
yeah.
And it's like, you know, which one's going to rise to the top, and that's so it's a constant struggle, it's a constant fight.
But at the end of the day, we have something special musically and sets us apart from a lot of different acts.
Yeah, I think that,
and that's where I think where we win.
That's our leverage.
Yeah, I mean, where we will win.
Yeah, because I guess that's it, right? I mean, because both of you have been in other bands, and so to find, you know, this grouping, and know that you kind of have that, you know, enough to make it gel. In this case, I think that's impressive.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Takes the chemistry. And sounds cliche, but it all starts with the songs, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think we all really believe in the songs and what we're doing, and we have the chemistry in that. So I think that's a lot of what ammunition we're using to kind of show peacock ourselves, I guess, so to speak. I don't know. You know, to launch.
Sure. Now, do you think, does Vegas help?
I think,
yes. I mean, there's pitfalls and stuff like this. This is a city known for cover bands, mm-hmm. you know. So there's not that many original bands, which is starting to change, which is great. And now there's some great original bands that are coming out of here, you know. So
it's a great rock town.
It is. There's always something going on, and there's so many great venues. So it's a lot easier than, say, Nashville or L.A. So, yeah, we're glad to be, proud to be in Las Vegas. Sorry, Joel.
I think that because there's so many things happening in Vegas all the time, you know, you could plan in advance of, you know, we're going to have this show. It's going to be our biggest show yet. But then all of a sudden, announcement, Metallica.
Aerosmith's playing the same.
Aerosmith. So you're constantly
competing. Yeah,
so when you pull in 200 people into a show here, per capita, that speaks like 500, 600 people in L.A.
Yep.
So I think that in a city that has the demand for attention in so many different areas and of entertainment, to get a good crowd, 200 people, and that's huge. And that's kind of like what we're doing right now. I think we're really proud of what we've accomplished in the city. And I think it's only going to get better, and we can't wait to share it everywhere else.
Yeah, because I mean, I guess you got to work with that grassroots kind of marketing,
yeah.
as far as getting, you know, butts in the stands or butts in the seats. I mean, if there are any seats.
Yeah, and I can speak for, I believe, on behalf of all of us, that we're very proud to be from Vegas. We're very proud to be a Vegas. I think there's a lot of Vegas pride. I'm from San Diego, born and raised, and I've been here in Vegas as a citizen for just about 2 years now. And there's a lot of pride being from Vegas and to be, what, a vegan is what it is. You know, yeah. More so than what I experienced back home in San Diego.
Yeah.
So I'm very proud to be here.
I don't think we could have done what we did in LA.
Right? I don't think so. I love LA, and that's kind of like will always be the apex of, you know, kind of like the making it, you know, go to LA and just pack a place. And I love every time we play LA, but it is a struggle. Yeah. Being from San Diego and being from San Diego and LA bands, I know what that's like. And Stacey's been in LA bands.
Yeah.
It's a lot more of a struggle. And here I think we can really kind of like showcase ourselves better.
And
get more of a buzz. The buzz.
Totally. That's it.
Well, and then for you, Stacey, I mean, obviously coming from Calgary, I mean, you can't get much more dramatically different than Calgary to Las Vegas. But I mean, with your stops in the middle, like, you know, what was it that finally made you say, like, oh, this is it, home?
I grew up in Toronto, and then from there, went to Florida for 8 years.
That's right.
I did not like at all. And then it was 14 years in L.A. So those years were fantastic. And I never thought I'd leave L.A. I'll be buried here. I guess it just things change when you get and that changed for me in 2013. I was like, wow, you know, but there's those people that, you know, they live in the same apartment building for 40 years, you know, and I didn't want to be that guy. And everybody was kind of moving out to Vegas, and they're like, oh, you got to check it out. And it's just easy. It's easy to travel. It's easy to live.
Well, no.
But now everybody's moving here, so it's becoming what LA was 12 years ago, which is not a bad thing. But I think it's just it's easy. LA was always like just a fight to go anywhere. It's hard to travel and the cost of living and the gas prices. Although it's a lot more expensive here now than it was 10 years ago. I've been here for 10 years. It's still not.
Sure, why not?
You know what I mean? So. And there's always something cool to do, and LA's an hour plane ride away. So.
Yeah. Do you guys do, like, I mean, living here, and obviously all the stuff that there is to do, like, do you find yourself going and doing those things, or do you just kind of, like take them for granted a little bit?
I do. I didn't have a social life back in San Diego. I had a clothing store for 20 years. I was like, it was a happening spot, but I went home and hung out with my kids. Nobody invited me out to parties. I move here, and then within a year and a half, I'm like, no, your kids are going out.
Wow. I'm the opposite now. I used to have a social life.
I can't get this guy out.
Now I'm like, I'm here on Friday night.
Yeah.
You know, 2 or 3 minutes from my house, and so I have my gates drinking beer.
Yeah.
But no, there's a lot of you know, really cool things, and there's much more of a scene here than there was 10 years ago when I moved. You know, there was always something going on, but it was you know, there's different venues, and there's always some kind of show rolling through, which is cool. You know, and speaking of Eddie Trunk's, you know, anniversary,
that's right,
party at the House of Blues, perfect venue.
Yep.
One of our favorite venues here. So that's going to be an amazing party.
So now
that I will be.
We have a house for.
Okay. So you're playing?
That I don't know yet, but, you know, Pete and I will be there.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, we're going to be there, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's why you're here, right?
Well.
And get out of the cold, too.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Coming from Calgary to come here, it's like, even though it's, you know, it could be a mite chilly today, but I got to be honest, it's way colder back home. So.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. December in Vegas is a little cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so you got to like those apples.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure.
I mean,
yeah.
Canada does offer crappy weather.
Well, I'm from San Diego, so this cold is a lot. I can't handle anything that dips below 60. So I'm actually freezing right now.
I'm surprised you weren't that cold. Like, we played in twice in Salt Lake City this year. Once end of January, and it was freezing. And you weren't that bothered by it. Meanwhile, I'm out there.
I don't do the typical lead singer prima donna thing, but that show I did have Sean come pick me up at the hotel
across the park
with the heater on. I'm very caught you know, cautious and conscious of that, especially being a singer with cold, you know, so I'm always trying to bundle up or
down.
So that's when my little prima donna singer comes out, if it's too cold.
Well, and I get that, right? Because, I mean, we've talked to so many lead singers, and yes, I mean, protecting your voice is just such a vital part, part of your, what you have to do.
Right.
I mean, how do you protect that?
Be with 12.
Oh, gosh.
Protect the moneymaker.
Yeah. About a week or two before a show, I try to stay away from big crowds, tight crowds. Just in case there's something going around, you know,
the screen's into a towel.
Yeah. If anybody's sick in my house, I'm just like, you know, lock myself away. But that's kind of just one of the, gosh, you just don't really ever know. I've played shows where I didn't think I was ever going to, there's no way I was going to be able to sing, and I pulled it off. That adrenaline kind of kicks in, and, you know, I've made it happen. But I don't ever like to be in that position. So I'm constantly, you know, a lot of ginger, a lot of lemon and manuka honey and stuff like that, and a lot of water and vitamin D, you know. So that's what I do. There you go.
How, and then for you, like, how sick can you be to still play?
Dude, I think as long as I can stand, you know. There's many, many times I remember being on tour in Europe or some. I remember there was one time in Minnesota, and I thought it was like equivalent to COVID. I got this flu, and I'm like, I'm dying. I'm gonna die tonight. I got through the show, but back at the hotel, I'm like, I think I'm dying tonight. It's a good run, you know. It was gnarly. I remember one time in Amsterdam, and my nose just running both nostrils, just like a tap, and I just was like, there's no point in trying to wipe this up. I just let it run down my face, as disgusting as it was. You do what you got to do to get through, right? So I think singers have it a little bit harder because it's like, you know.
Yeah, and you're like, do you remember?
I can use my hands and if I'm sick, but, you know, using a throat if I'm sick, that's a whole different
thing. You know,
so, yeah, I plow through.
Big.
I did our record release event with Two Broken Toes that I did right before I left for the venue into my bed frame. It was a magnet pulling me to walk at Mach 1 into this, you know, only I could do something like that.
Sure. It was like one of those Canadian construction danger.
Yes.
PSAs?
PSAs, yes.
Bed frames are the worst, though, aren't they?
You think that, you should have seen my foot. Oh, my God.
The whole time, I'm just like, will you shut up about your foot?
And then he finally sent me a photo of it the next day.
You're like,
I felt bad.
Oh, okay. I understand now.
We all sever toes, Stacey.
No, this was like... So, you know, you do what you have to do.
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, and that's the thing. Like, do you ever look back and just, I mean, knowing where you started and looking at you now, like sitting here as like grown adults in the Las Vegas, you know, on the country club, and think like,
jeez,
fuck, I did it.
It's been a wild ride.
Yeah.
You pretty much saw that. No.
And then to be able to start a new band and to do it again, like that's kind of.
Yeah, because some people are like, you're crazy doing that.
Yeah.
And still, person. Still.
Having a long career and stuff like that, but I looked at it as like, I'm going to do this, and if it kills me, hell or high water.
We will kill you, pull you.
To have something that is my own and something that's modern and you know,
it's
like, let's do this, let's raise the flag and see who's, you know.
I can say, you know, I've known Stacey a long time before you was in LA Guns. And I would say that, yeah.
Years ago.
I would say that this band is his
22 years ago.
Because after LA Guns, he could have played
in
multiple fill-in positions or cover bands and just done the kind of like the same thing, rehashing on the same thing. But to be in a position where we are now in a new modern rock band, is writing new songs and getting the attention that we're getting, and the accomplishments that we have made in these modern times.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be his legacy.
Yeah.
So
thank you, babe.
Hey, you're welcome.
Here's a napkin. It is interesting because I've been like teaching Krista about like all the bands and stuff, because I mean, you know, Kings of the Strip has so much of that where it's just like the almost incestuous nature of like the music industry, and how it's just like you can go. I mean, Jizzy Pearl is such a great example where it's just like, oh, he's in Love Hate, he's in Quiet Riot, he's in the LA Guns for a bit, Adler's Appetite and stuff like that. And I mean, I love Jizzy, but yeah, and I feel like, yes, that, well, like when you talk about that, Peter, I think that that's what you could have.
I didn't just want to be known for, as proud as I am, you know, I didn't want to be known for just that replacement guy again. You know, I've had a wonderful career as that. I wanted to do something completely different musically and, you know, stand on my own merits, although I have merits, of course, but did on my own as something that I created.
See, I think that's the difficult thing. I love Ellie Guns. I've been a diehard Ellie Guns fan for many years. And to see Stacy, I actually played with him. My band played with him years ago when he was in Ellie Guns. We ran into each other like, Stacy.
Yeah.
I think that is a legacy, right? So, but to be in a position again where we are now, where he can reinvent himself, not a lot of people can do that.
Yeah, that was tough.
Yeah.
It was not tough, but it's like I put a lot of work into doing that.
Right, you could have taken the easy road and taken any gig that,
hit him up.
But it's funny, that incestuous kind of thing, that was kind of like a thing way back when, too. Before, in the early days.
Oh, absolutely,
Yeah. Like Quiet Riot brought up was, a lot of rotation kind of until the classic.
That's right, yeah. I mean, and like I know, it's all stuck in here.
Yeah.
it's one of those things, I know Krista will like make a comment like, whoa, you know a lot about this, don't you? It's like, yeah, great.
Encyclopedia.
Good, useful knowledge that'll just keep me going. But when it comes to like playing something new, like, I mean, to go from playing like that and then to shift into like the crashing wayward vein, was that like kind of difficult or did it feel natural?
It felt very natural because I've always been a bit of a chameleon musically, And then looking back at how I grew up, it wasn't just one kind of music I listened to. I listened to a lot of different stuff. And to, I find my musical soulmate, Pete, and both of us have this love for early 80s new wave. And that comes up with us in our writing when we write together. There's four different writers, so you get four different styles in this band, but it all comes together. So there's a lot of old familiarity as far as like that music that I grew up with. But then there's also pushing myself as a musician and as a guitar player and a writer to do something, very radically different. Now, whether people like that or not, is what it is. But to me, I'm very proud of a lot of the records that I've done. This last album with Fashion Wayward, I think I'm most proud of it because it pushed an envelope for me as a guitar player and a songwriter. Worked hard on it, yeah. But no, it came very, very natural,
So what is the what's currently playing in your cars right now?
Nothing.
NPR.
Static. It's in the blue.
I listen to, it's funny. Those Spotify like raps or iTunes, I think my kids enjoy like, hey, what was your top? And it's usually whatever they're playing in my car.
Yeah.
So sometimes it was funny because one time it was like, it said Shinedown. Like, I listened to Shinedown, I didn't listen to Shinedown 150 hours. It was like number one. But this year it was Kiss was my number one. And that's because I did Kiss Night. So I had it on a repeat. like Stacey, I don't listen to a lot of music in the car. When I do, it's usually I'm pulling up something I haven't listened to in a long time or haven't really listened to yet. So I kind of go back. I do a lot of more going back. And then my kids introduced me to a lot of stuff that's happening now, whether it's like the 1975. But I listen to a lot of Queens of the Stone Age. A lot of U2. I love U2. Early New Waves stuff. Obviously Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah.
Soundgarden, Alice in Chains,
we just went and saw the Cult. That was really cool. We had a good time here.
Yeah,
that was great to see that, and we still sound amazing.
I think we're all creatures of habit, right? So it's kind of like we go back to what's nostalgic and what feels good. I know sometimes people kind of give other people a hard time if they're just kind of like stuck into one but it's like, hey, it makes me feel good, like when I hear Dancing With Myself come on, it's like, oh my gosh, that's
you're singing along with that.
Yeah. So yeah, I love the nostalgic stuff, you know. So what else?
Bowie, Foo Fighters.
Oh yeah, of course, Bowie. Bowie. You know, Bowie. Baba Bowie.
For real.
Well, and that's, you know, that's the interesting thing, right? Because you talk about us being creatures of habit, which absolutely we are. Yeah. So then how is it that you hope to get Crashing Wayward into those people who are the creatures of habit?
I would say for myself, I am always looking for something new. You know, there's always something. There is new stuff that's happening out there. And I do come across, there's a lot of, like Inhaler, U2's Bono's Son is a fan. Inhaler, I think they're really good. You know, again, like the 1975, I think offers something really great. As far as and there's a lot of great emerging rock right now, especially a lot of the rock that I see coming out is kind of like that retro throwback. You know, a lot of Zeppelin kind of driven stuff.
Yeah.
I think we fit in a nice spot because we're an alternative to that. We are familiar, but we're also modern.
Yeah.
So to hit that, we do hit a nostalgic, I think, for a lot of people, but it's also like, what is this? This is kind of
the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s.
Yeah.
A twist, you know?
Yeah.
So,
and
I think if you're into, you know, 70s rock, Cheap Trick and Mott the Hoople and Bowie and all that stuff, you're going to love Crashing Wayward. But if you're also into like Guns N' Roses and LA Guns or Skid Row, you'll dig it because it's very guitar driven.
What do you think?
If you're into Foo Fighters and Queens of the Stone Age and bands like that, you'll dig it very much because it's like it's a lot of level. But if you're also into listen to like, you know, Duran Duran and Roxy Music, you'll dig that because it's almost has a Killers vibe, which is kind of the stuff that they borrowed from, you know, when they came out 20 years ago. So we have all these melting pot.
I think the band is kind of like an iPod and you put it on shuffle.
Yeah.
But our backgrounds, you can find, there's a Wasp live on the Sunset Strip, I think 2000, 2001. And you could see me being dragged off the stage because, you know, every show,
I was 6'3" back then too.
I was jumping off stages, Wasp, Sebastian Bach, Skid Row, Motley Crue, LA Guns. I mean, that is what brought me into rock. And that's why I love performing rock. But I also love this other part, you know, going back from, you know, back to kind of like the new wave.
Loving Rockets
and
Bauhaus.
You know, Sisters of Mercy.
The Cult.
Yeah, The Cult. I think that's kind of like the beauty is we bring all of that into one kind of like cohesive unit, which is Crashing Wayward. It's so hard to like, what do you guys sound like?
You're a rock band.
You know, it's like,
yeah.
Sound like Crashing Wayward.
Yeah. Yeah, but that is what we are essentially. Yeah. We are a rock band.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so
now you talk about The Cult. Like, do you guys hang out often?
The Cult with The Cult?
No. Oh, no. I just meant like as you know, as friends.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, Stacey, you're obviously in the same place right now, so that's.
He used to stay at my house.
Yes, Stacey's invited me over for a Sunday roast for quite a while.
Yeah, life gets in the way.
No, we do. Stacey's one of my best friends.
Yeah.
But we do.
I used to cook breakfast for Pete a lot. As much as we can, you know. I mean, life gets busy and we all, you know, have other side gigs that we do.
Stacey came over for Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
right.
Pete's wife made an amazing Thanksgiving spritz, so he'll do it.
Yeah.
So what's it like, you know, I mean, you're a rock and roll star, and you got a family. You know, how do you juggle this?
Well, I'm just dad. I mean, I think my kids think I'm cool, but I'm still just dad, you know? I'm still, like, the dork. I'm trying to make them laugh, and they're like,
whatever. That was cool. Like, Tyler's oldest daughter came and saw us play in September.
Yeah, it was in September. Yeah. She's actually the.
You could tell, like, she was just like, wow, that's my dad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, yeah. She had that, like, look of, like, wow, my dad's badass.
Yeah.
You know?
You can see it in her face.
Yeah. I read this interview one time of Lenny Kravitz, and it was, he was speaking of his daughter Zoe, I believe, when she was like an older teenager. And he was even saying that even for him, he was not cool. You know, so for me, I'm like, I think I'm doing okay. You know, they'll come around. So, yeah. Actually, my daughter, she goes to an art school here, Las Vegas Arts Academy, and she's in the vocal program. She's performing tonight. And it's kind of funny because, I don't know if I should say this, but Sebastian Bach's daughter goes to the school as well and is in my daughter's same class.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, you know, he's 6'4", I'm 6'4". It's like you can spot the two elephants in the room. So it's kind of cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk some more, but I think we'll wrap up this part of the show.
Yes.
Out here so that we can bring you guys inside to the vocal cult.
Stacey's nose is starting to
fast.
But please, tell everybody how they can keep up with you, what you got going on, and just, plug yourself.
Yeah, I think all the socials, we're at Crashing Wayward everywhere. If you can like, subscribe, follow us, please. That's, that's the biggest support you can do for us, as well as stream our music on Spotify, Crashing Wayward, Spotify, iTunes, listen. Wherever music. Yeah.
Listen.
And I think if you can like it and share it.
Share it.
Yeah. So,
well, that's what we did back in the day. We told
your friends about, hey, man, gotta check out this new album. So, that's what we did. I think we've lost a little bit of that.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I love you guys, and that's not just because I'm sitting here hanging out with you, but I love your music, and I appreciate everything that you're doing. So, absolutely, I hope that everybody needs to go out and listen to it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Textbook case insane, imprisoned in my desolate brain. The colors bleed, but the writing remains. True to my dismay, I melted just your thoughts, afraid to blink or sleep it over. Whatever comes inside the dark would never come close if I. Inside my conscience screams, so desperately holding on to my pride, trying to let